Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. I hope you were blessed with the worship. Last week, we were blessed to hear a word from our good friend Les Tomlinson. If you missed it, you can see the video on our Facebook site, or you can download and stream the audio from it or any of our other previous messages on our website at rockthechurch.org. What I want to share today will go along with Les's message about having peace in the storm. First, though, I'd like to wish all the mothers out there a happy and blessed Mother's Day. The world has tried to minimize, marginalize, or modify what it means to be a mother, or even what it means to be a woman at all. In the name of equality, the world diminishes many of the very qualities and attributes that make a mother a mother. The world tries to blur the lines of difference between male and female. Anyone with eyes and any amount of common sense can see and know that there are differences between men and women. And these are differences that we should celebrate, not try to diminish. Biologically, it's necessary that there are both male and female. Only a fool would deny that men and women are different. Yet there are many in our society and culture who do. Genesis 1, 26 and 28 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Then God created them, male and female. Both male and female are created in the image of God. Mothers are made in the image of God, and perhaps are best at accurately displaying the qualities and characters of God, in whose image they are created. They show compassion and nurturing, protection, provision, and unconditional love. Those are a few of God's qualities revealed in mothers. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling." The heart of a mother reveals the heart of God. The parable of the prodigal reveals the forgiveness of a father's heart. But how many prodigals have been protected and sustained and drawn back by the prayers of their mothers and grandmothers? So thank you, mothers, grandmothers, and spiritual mothers, for revealing the image of God to us today and every day. God bless you. So the text for today is from John 3, which, of course, is a powerful chapter that includes Jesus saying that we must be born again. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." And of course, John 3:16, one of the most often quoted verses in all of Scripture, which says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then there's the part that many, many try to leave out, verses 17 through 20, which say, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy or the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Today, though, we're going to focus on what begins at verse 23, John 3:23. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and he was spending time with them and baptizing. John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was so much water there, and the people were coming and were being baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples with the Jew about purification. And they came to John and said, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In Galatians 5:24, Paul says, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." And far too often, religion as a whole, and we as believers individually, tend to focus on denying of self and on the crucifying of our flesh. We struggle to demonstrate our faith by what we don't do. But now let's look at the text, at what Paul says about crucifying the flesh in the full context. In Galatians 5:16-25, Paul says, "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Again, religion tries to have us focus on denying and crucifying. But how long does it take, and how successful are we really at crucifying immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, and carousing? How successful are we really at crucifying those things from our lives? James 2:10 says, "Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." You know, in these times that we face, we need to realize that even fear, worry, doubt, and anxiety are all of the flesh. Fear is really a form of faith, because fear is believing more. It's having more faith in the things that we don't want than in the things that we do. Most of what we fear and worry about involves our flesh. Paul shares the key to that success. Rather than focusing on denying and crucifying, rather than focusing on ourselves at all, we should focus on the Spirit. We should live and walk by the Spirit. In today's text, John shared another way, another key perspective for how we are to successfully serve and walk with Christ. It says, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." The only way for us to truly crucify our flesh, the only way to fully deny ourselves, is to be born again, as Jesus said, of the Spirit. The only way that we can truly decrease is to have Christ increase. When we, through religion, focus on denial, we see God as restrictive and as limiting. And then we see and portray the God of denial, and the world wants nothing to do with our religion. When instead Christ increases in our lives, we see love, grace, and protection, provision. We see the blessings and promises of God when Christ is our focus. If Christ increases in us, then that's who and what the world will see. Look again at what Paul says. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife." And we've done that list. In Matthew 22:37-38, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." You know, there's a saying that says, first things first. And there's a reason for that saying. If we haven't succeeded in the first commandment, how can we think we'll succeed in any of the others? We cannot obey the commandments that say, thou shalt not, if we don't first obey the one that says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. If we will love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, there'll be no room left in our heart, soul, or mind for the satisfaction of the flesh. So what is it that hinders us? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." And I think too often we don't fully love God because we don't believe we deserve his love. Our ability to love is conditioned on the fact that he first loved us. So we need to accept that love, that he loved us, even while we were sinners. If we focus on ourselves and on our flesh, we have a lot of difficult work ahead of us today and every day. Each day, each minute of each day, we would need to strive to suppress our desires and to crucify our flesh. And unfortunately, even if we're completely successful today, that means nothing for tomorrow. On the other hand, in Matthew 11:29-30, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If we focus on Christ, if we allow him to increase, it will be easy for us to decrease. You know, most of us probably know or have seen someone who has overcome an addiction. Many overcome an addiction to one thing by replacement. Rather than drinking or using drugs, they become addicted to something else. It could be work, it could be a person or a hobby, it could even be religion. And while that person may be better off than they previously were, what they've really done is replaced one thing that satisfies the flesh with another. If we deny ourselves and crucify our flesh and replace it with nothing, Jesus says the outcome is even worse. In Matthew 12, 43 to 45, Jesus says, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be with this evil generation." That's the way it would be if we only deny ourselves and crucify our flesh and don't have Christ increase in our lives. Last week's message focused on having peace in the difficult times we're in. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." We get it wrong sometimes. We don't need to empty ourselves to get better. We need to fill ourselves with Him. The psalmist says, "My cup runneth over." And that's how it should be with us. We need to be filled and refilled with Christ and with His Spirit daily, minute by minute, so that all of ourselves is forced out. All of it runs out. There's no room left for anything but Christ and the Spirit. And then we need to be filled some more, so that what comes out when our cup runneth over, what pours out and spills out, is Him. The only way to truly overcome is by displacement, not replacement. We need to displace the needs of the flesh and the deeds of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. We need to displace self with Christ. He must increase, but we must decrease. You know, there's a familiar song whose chorus says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and precious Holy Spirit, increase in us today, that we might become more like You every day. As You increase in us, may Your light increase in our homes and our towns and in our region and across this nation and around the world. Increase, O Lord, that there be nothing left of us, but that the world would see You. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace, be blessed, and again, a happy and blessed Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Until next time, God bless.